Good morning. Today is Daf Chaf Hei in Brachos, and we are right in the middle of Chaf Dalet Amud Beis. Topics of discussion have been and will continue to be davening in places that are not clean. Now, lack of cleanliness is due to a couple of factors. Number one, what we've been discussing at length yesterday was Erva, to be davening around an area of Erva. We also touched on topics of bodily noises that are during davening, yawning, burping, and sneezing, and such. And the Gemara noted that Rebbe seemed to have done a lot of that during his davening, and the Gemara responded to all the different bodily sounds that were produced by Rebbe during davening, and somehow resolved those issues. We're continuing in the Gemara. We're on Chav Dalam and Beis. We're right in the middle of the Amud. It is the first mid-sized line. The Gemara starts off on Mashmiya Kol B'Tzvila. So, you raise your voice during davening. You have little emuna. You remember Rashi yesterday. Rashi said it's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot hear you. So instead of speaking quietly, because maybe he's got some hearing issues, so you're going to speak up a little bit. So you are katnei emuna. You are of little faith. So the Gemara starts off with a ruling of Rav Huna, and that is the following. Look, kavanah is the most important thing about davening. While you're davening, you need to have kavanah. The Rambam actually writes, one of the things that is ma'akiv tefillah is a lack of kavanah. You need kavanah. So, right, the Rambam gives in the Hilchos Tefillah, he gives a list of things that are totally ma'akev tefillah and things that are not ma'akev tefillah, but you need. So kavanah is very important. And if you need to raise your voice in order so that you yourself have better kavanah, have nothing to do with your belief system in God. You know God can hear you whether you speak softly or whether you speak loud. You're fully aware of that. But it just happens to be that you can concentrate better if you raise your voice a little bit. So Rav Huna says, so then it's fine. Then it'd be fine to raise your voice. But the Gemara makes a very important caveat, but that's only if you're davening by yourself. But you cannot daven out loud. We're talking Shmona Esrei. Everyone understand, whenever we say the word davening, immediately in your mind, just adjust to Shmona Esrei. Right? What we say before, what we say afterwards, even the Shema to a certain degree, that's not tefillah. Tefillah over here in the very literal sense is referring to Shmona Esrei. So we're talking about Shmona Esrei. So the Gemara says, but when you daven b'tzibur, you should not. You should not raise your voice. You should not be heard. Meaning, say it audibly enough so that you hear, but not audibly enough so that your friend hears it. You don't want to be tarred b'tzibur. You don't want to upset the rest of the tzibur with your davening. So, basically like this. If you're davening by yourself, which is never a preferred state to begin with, as we've discussed earlier in the Masechta, you want to daven b'tzibur. But if whatever the reason is, you're davening by yourself, so then you can adjust your own volume based on what works for you in terms of kavana. When you're davening with a tzibur, even though you enjoy davening loud because it helps your kavana, but that's not acceptable, the Gemara says you have to daven quietly so as not to upset the person standing next to you. Rabbi Abba Havakamishtam Eminei de Rabbi Yehuda. Gemara now tells a story, a very interesting story. Rabbi Abba, so he had this wild thought. He's going to go to Israel. And Rabbi Yehuda, his Rebbe, now this is Amoraim, right? Rabbi Yehuda is a student of Rav and Shmuel, so you're talking now second generation Amoraim. So we're somewhere in the third century, approximately. So his Rebbe was Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda was upset. Wait, you're going to go to Israel? No, you can't go to Israel. Now, I know what I said. What I'm saying doesn't sound that particularly religious. But Rabbi Yehuda says, you can't go to Israel. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says, anyone who leaves Bavel to go into Eretz Yisrael is violating a positive commandment. I'll repeat that again because I know it does not sound that particularly religious. He says that if you leave Bavel to go into Eretz Yisrael, so you're violating an asay. Shenamar, Bavela, Yuvau, Vishama, Yiyu. The Navi in Yirmiyahu says you're going to go to Bavel and that's where you're going to remain. Now, let's just put a little context to this whole discussion. The Pasuk in Yirmiyahu is obviously describing the Churban Bayis Rishon. Right, the first temple, the destruction of the first temple. And Yirmiyahu says it, and Daniel said it as well, meaning this is going to be a limited galus. And you're going to be here for, and actually Daniel gave out the number. He said you're going to be here for 70 years, and then you're going to go back to Eretz Yisrael. Good. So, truth of the matter is that, yeah, for the by Churban Bayis Rishon, so it was very clear instruction that you're going to go down to, you're going to leave Eretz Yisrael, you're going to go into Bavel, you'll be there, and when I call you, then you'll come out. Okay, and by the way, calling you means that there has to be nevuah, which there was at the end of those 70 years, right? Ezra, Nehemiah, Nevi'im told everyone, okay, it's good, water's clear, we can go, all is clear, we can go back. All right. So, but what the Gemara is doing now, what Rav Yehuda is doing, is he's really extrapolating, meaning we are now well beyond Churban Bayis Rishon, we're after Churban Bayis Sheni, we're already a couple hundred years after Churban Bayis Sheni, but what he is suggesting, and it seems like he held this very strongly, is that this instruction, that once you go to Bavel, you may not leave until being called out, that is true, not only after Churban Bayis Rishon, it's also after Churban Bayis Sheni as well. Needless to say, that must be very controversial, being that after Churban Bayis Sheni, there were many Jews who lived in Eretz Yisrael. In fact, there was an entire community of Jews living inside of Eretz Yisrael. So this position, Rav Yehuda, is a very interesting position. Certainly it must have been an extraordinarily controversial position, but he held it. Now, his student, Rabbi Abba, said, well, I still want to go. Again, this is just, it's so interesting, it's intriguing, meaning his student, Rabbi Abba, obviously disagreed with his Rebbe on this issue, on this particular issue. He felt that despite the fact that his Rebbe said, we got to stay in Bavel until we're called to leave out Bavel, so his student, Rabbi Abba, says, yeah, but I want to go to Eretz Yisrael. Okay? So, all this, of course, very interesting, but why does it come up in our Gemara? Because of the following. So, I'm sorry, Bavol Yavov Shamayu Ad Yom Pakdi Osam Nom Hashem. Okay, that's the pasuk from Yirmiyahu. So Amar Ezoveshma Mine Milsa Mi Beis Vada Vahada Apik. So Rabbi Abba says one last learning, meaning I'm going to learn one last time. I'm going to go to the Beis Medrash one last time here in Bavel, and then I'm going to make Aliyah. I'll somehow duck out. I'll skip out. I'll somehow manage to elude my Rebbe Rav Yehuda because I know he's not happy with me. So I just want to learn one more thing in the Beis Medrash over here. Aza Ashkechel Tanik Dik Tanik Hamid Rav Yehuda. So now, Atana was going over Brisos in front of Rav Yehuda. That's the way the learning worked, is that you had people memorizing Brisos and saying them over in front of the Rebbeim. So, somebody was saying over a Brisos in front of Rav Yehuda, Hayomid Betulam Nisatish Mamtim Ashiach Ala Haruach Lechozim Espal. And the Brisos goes like this. If a person is davening and he sneezed, but sneezing over here does not mean sneezing. You remember yesterday's daf? Sneezing could either be from the top or from the bottom. Here we're talking about passing gas. So Mamtim Ashiach Ala Haruach Lechozim Espal. So you wait. You wait until it dissipates and then you go on and you continue your davening your Shmoneh Esrei. Now that's one version of how the Brisa was set over. Ikadam, the Gemara says the second version. Hayomid Betil Bikesh Li Satesh. Here in the second version of the Brisa, you feel the oncoming of gas. Marchik Lacharv Dal Amos Umisatesh. So what you do is you move back. You back up 4 Amos and then you pass your gas. So Mamtim Ashiach Ala Haruach. You wait until it dissipates, v'chozer, and then you return. Now, I'm not sure. The Gemara here means you physically return back to the spot where you originally were, or chozer over here simply means you go back to where you stopped davening. Either way, whichever way is the correct way to understand the Gemara, umispalo. V'omer, and then you insert the following, fascinating, a davening inside of your davening, meaning because what did you just do? You passed gas in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. You remember the Gemara yesterday? The Gemara yesterday said that's not a good thing at all. The Gemara, just to quote from yesterday's Gemara, the Gemara says, Simon Ra, it's a bad sign, and the Gemara also added, Nikershu Mechuar. The person's a disgusting person. So the Gemara speaks in very strong language against passing gas in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, and that's what you just did. So what do you do now that you did that? So you say basically to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know us, meaning you know us, you created us, and you know that we have these types of orifices in our body. You know how embarrassing it is. Look, in this world, and then even the next world, after we go away, we're going to be buried in the ground, we're going to be full of maggots. So after saying that, it's basically an excuse me in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Right? You say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look, I'm really sorry. I know it was not a good thing to do, but you made me, and you know, we're built like that. So apologize, and then you continue davening mimakom shepasuk from the place where you last left. So good. So that's what he learned in the Beis Medrash. Okay. And his reaction, Amar Lei, this is Rabbi Abba's last learning in Bavel. If this is the only thing I heard in the Beis Medrash today, perfect. Meaning he thoroughly enjoyed this particular piece of learning for reasons which, it's Torah, so for that alone it's worth it. Did it have any personal meaning to him? Perhaps. I'm not sure if I would like to elaborate. But the basic idea is that he enjoyed it, and he said that had this been the only thing I learned today, that would have been sufficient. Tana Rabbanan, Hayayashim betalisa v'neochol lahotzi es rosho mimnei hatzina. You're under your mattress. It's really cold. Okay, Northeasterners, you remember this. So, and you don't want to remove your head from under the mattress because it's so cold. So now what do? Chotzis pataliso al savaro v'kor kriyashma. But now, of course, you still have the mitzvah of kriyashma. Now remember we discussed yesterday, let's review. There are two issues when you're saying kriyashma and erva. There is what's called a naim roas erva. You cannot see your erva. And libo roas erva, there has to be separation between your heart and your erva. Now, as far as issue number one, that's an absolute issue, like we discussed yesterday. It's an issur d'oraisa to say Shema when you see your erva, or for that matter, anyone else's erva. Good. So there absolutely needs to be a separation. So here in this scenario where the person is in his bed, he is not clothed, but he wants to say Shema, and his head is underneath a blanket because it's too cold to pop it out. So what does he do? So basically take the blanket and put it right up against his neck, so that there will be a physical separation between his eyes and his erva. The Yesh Omrim al Libo. Now, according to the second version, or the Yesh Omrim, a second opinion, I should say, you put it al Libo, you put it up against your heart, meaning you put the blanket right underneath your heart so that there's a separation between the heart and the erva. The Tanakama, now, the Tanakama does not feel that this is necessary. Hare Libo Roas Erva, Kasava Libo Roas Erva Mutter. So the Tanakama is of the opinion that Libo Roas Erva is not an issue, like I discussed yesterday. But here you see the Gemara straight out. Einayim Roas Erva, that is universal. It's an Isser in the Torah. Hopefully today we'll get to the Pesukim that discuss that you cannot see Erva if you want to say Kriya Shema, for that matter, any Davar Shebekedusha. Fine. Libo Roas Erva is an Isser de Rabbanan. And as we see right over here, some don't even maintain that's an Isser de Rabbanan, meaning some are totally okay where your eyes are shielded from your Erva, but your heart, quote-unquote, sees your erva. There are opinions that say that it's fine, as the Gemara over here articulated. How do we paskin? I'll get to that later on this morning. Now, you're walking through the dirty alleyways. Dirty alleyways over here, meaning there's real waste matter in these alleyways. Okay, you got to go back to a time where indoor plumbing was just but a dream. So now you're talking about basically where there is all the bodily waste is collected and placed into a particular area. Okay, they earmarked an area for that. So mevuos hametunafos are basically alleyways that are dirty, that are filthy, and there is excrement in this alleyway. So meniach gado apiva kor kriyashma. So how do you handle it? I mean, you're walking through the alleyway, you'd like to say kriyashma. The zman has come to say kriyashma. So according to this opinion of Rav Yochanan, put your hand over your mouth and say kriyashma. Now, Amale Rav Chista Alokim Imamartli Rav Yochanan Bipume Lotse Sinale. Rav Chista has a very strong reaction to the statement of Rav Yochanan. If I heard this from Rav Yochanan himself, I still wouldn't listen to him. Now we're going to have a second version of how this give and take went, but it's basically going to come out the same. Here in the second version, it is Rav Yeshua ben Levi. And he makes the statement, fine. And Amalei Rav Chista Elokim Emamartli Rav Yeshua ben Levi Bepumelot Seisinale. But again, it comes out to the same visceral reaction of Rav Chista. If I heard this from Rav Yeshua ben Levi himself, I would not have listened. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we have a statement of Rav Huna. And Rav Huna says that a Talmud Chacham, somebody who engages in the study of Torah all the time, and he's so frequently engaged in the study of Torah that even at during his quote-unquote off time, he's going to be thinking about Torah, so he can't stand in Makam HaTanofos. He can't stand in dirty places because he can't help himself. He's going to be thinking Torah. So the Gemara says, that's obviously difficult based on what we just saw. So the Gemara says, it's not so difficult. Lo kashi kamba omei kamba amahalech. Meaning, the prohibition that Rav Huna here speaks about is standing in Makam HaTinofos. So to just stand around Makam HaTinofos for a Talmud Chacham, that's unacceptable. He's a Talmud Chacham. He's always engaged in Torah study and Torah thought. So therefore, for him to be stationary around Makam HaTinofos, that's unacceptable. But if he's just passing through, that would be okay. ומי אמר רב יוחנן הכי ואמר רבא בבר חנא אמר רב יוחנן בכל מקום מותר להר בדברי תורה חוץ מבית המרחץ ומבית הכיסא. So the Gemara is bothered. Rav Yochanan gave a heter. Rav Yochanan said that if you're walking through the makkah, the mavos atinofos, so you put your hand over your mouth and you say kriyashma. Okay? So essentially, the Rav Yochanan established a kula, a leniency. You can do it. On the other hand, the Gemara quotes Rav Yochanan saying that you can think about Torah anywhere except for the Beis HaMerchatz, the Shvitz, and the Beis HaKiseh in the bathroom. Okay? And again, when we say bathroom, we mean, obviously, a place where there is tzoah. So obviously now we're at somewhat of an impasse because Rav Yochanan over here clearly establishes that you cannot say Torah when you are around the area of excrement. So how did he offer this heter earlier of walking through the alleyway, putting your hand on your mouth and saying Kriya Shema? How does that work? And so maybe you want to give the same distinction that we gave earlier, that to stand around excrement, that's unacceptable. But if you're just simply passing through, that's okay. So the Gemara says, but wait, I'll tell you the following story, where Rabbi Abao was walking behind Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Abao was saying Kriya Shema, and Kimat b'mavos ha-matunafos ishtik. Now Rabbi Abao, not Rabbi Yochanan, but Rabbi Abao, as he's walking through this dirty alleyway, so he stopped saying Kriya Shema. You can't say Kriya Shema, I'm passing right next to excrement. So, and now he paused, waited till he passed through, and now wants to resume. But he's now a little bit unsure. Do I go back to the beginning? Do I start again? Or can I pick it up from where I left off? So just give me a moment. Amalei Rav Yochanan lahechan ahadar. So he turns to his Rebbe Rav Yochanan and he says, so what do I do now? So Amaleim Sheikide Ligmar's Kula Chozel Rosh. So Rav Yochanan's answer is, well, it depends. Depends how long your delay was. If let's say it takes you 2 minutes to say Kriya Shema, and the delay that you took was 2 minutes, so now you got to go back to the beginning. If, however, it takes you 2 minutes to say Kriya Shema, your delay was anything less than 2 minutes, so then you can pick it up right where you left off. Okay. So now you understand this dialogue that takes place between Rav Yochanan and Rabbi Abao. And in this dialogue, there was a conversation and there was the implicit conversation. Implied in this dialogue between Rav Yochanan and his student is that, good, I'm glad that you stopped, meaning you should have stopped, because we're going through a Mavos HaTunafos. So now we're really stuck with Rabbi Yochanan, because what does Rabbi Yochanan feel? Are you allowed to say Shema while passing through the dirty alleyway? We started the whole discussion by saying that Rabbi Yochanan allows it. You just put your hand over your mouth and you say your Kriya Shema. And meanwhile, Rabbi Yochanan also said that when you're in a bathroom, you can't think Torah thoughts. So what does he hold? So hachi kamerle. So the Gemara says like this. Lidi di lo svirle, lidi lo svirle. So Rav Yochanan said, you misunderstood the conversation between Rav Yochanan and Rabbi Abao. Rav Yochanan himself feels that if you're just passing through, it's okay. Do I totally understand the svara behind this? No, to be perfectly honest. The difference between passing through versus being stationary. Okay, maybe it's more intense when you're stationary. I don't fully understand. But being that's the case, so what? Meaning Rav Yochanan feels that if you're passing through, that's okay. And that's how we start off the discussion. And when he issued the ruling regarding the bathroom, so that's where you're stationary, that's not okay. But if you're just passing through, that's okay. He turned to his student Rabbi Abao. Rabbi Abao stopped. So Rav Yochanan says, look, if you had started off the question with, should I stop? I would have said, no, you don't have to stop. We're just passing through. But now that you hold that you need to stop, and now you're just asking me the question, where do I go back? So now I'm going to answer your second question. You didn't ask me the first question. I would have told you not to stop to begin with. But now that you didn't ask me that first question, and now you're moving on to, I stopped, what do I do now? Well, it depends how long you stopped. Okay, so now we have consistency within Rav Yochanan, and we have now a clear picture of what Rav Yochanan holds.
Couple of weeks ago, didn't we say that when you say Kretzon Shash, you should be stationary, you should be Yamo?
For that first pasuk that the Gemara says, because you need Kavana, that's a fair point. It's a very fair point. Great, because the Gemara says that you need additional kavana for that first pasuk, so you should be stationary. And once you're stationary, so then you have the problem of, yeah, it's a good point. It's a very good point. Maybe it's after the first pasuk of Kriya Shema. But that's just merely a suggestion on my part. Tanya Kavasi, the Rav Huna, we're continuing the Gemara. We're still on Chavdal Amid Beis. We have a braisa that supports the ruling of Rav Huna, Tanya Kavasi, the Rav Chista, and we have a braisa that supports Rav Chista. Good. So the Brisa here, just like what Rav Huna says, just like what Rav Yochanan says, that if you're passing through the dirty alleyway, put your hand over your mouth and say Kriya Shema. Tanya Kivasi Rav Chista Yamalak Mavos Matunafos Lo Ikra Kriya Shema. So here in the second Brisa, it supports what Rav Chista said, that even if you're just passing through, you cannot say Kriya Shema. Velo Oil Shimaya Kore Uva Posek. Now, if you happen to be in the middle of your Kriya Shema, and now you notice that you're walking through a dirty alleyway, you got to stop. Lo posik mai. Now, what if you don't stop? It's a funny, right? I enjoy when these Gemaras say something and then say, but what if you do? So you should stop. Again, this Brisa supports Rav Chista. Even if you're passing through, you should stop. But what if you don't? So Amar Rav Mesha Bar Berei, Rav Yeshua Ben Levi, Alav HaKasav Omer, V'gam Ani Nasati Lahem Chukim Lo Tovim Mishpatim Lo Yichyu Bahem. So the Gemara quotes, it's Lo Tov, it's not good. Rav Asi, now I know that's not a halachic response, meaning, but in other words, it invokes not a mitzvah, but something short of that. Can I quantify and classify that any better? Not particularly, but Rav Asi Amar Have Moshe Ha'avim Bechev Le'Hashav. Rashi over here says Bechev Le'Hashav Bechavalim She'enu Chazakim. Ropes that really don't hold you. Ela nochim lihinatek. They're very tenuous, describes Rashi. Moshkin ha'avan al atzmam, and it kind of pulls the sin right over you. Avzal yidei dibra ba'amahu nanash. And it's analogous to what we're describing over here, meaning, what is he just, he's doing? He's talking, that's all he's doing. But because he's saying Shema in an area where there is excrement, so therefore, just through the dibra alone, so he is subject to an onish. Rav Adab Avar Mamehachi Kidavar Hashem Baza. He's disgracing the word of God. The im pasuk mascharo. Now, what if you do stop? Amar Rabbi Abba, Alav HaKasav Omer, Uvedavar Hazeh Tarichu Yamim. So for this, you'll be given Arichus Yamim. Amar Rav Huna, Haisa Talisa Chagurlo Masnav, Mutar Likros Kriyashma. So, if you have a belt over here means belt and pants, and they're over you, whatever they had back then, pants, whatever it was. But in other words, the lower portion of your body is covered, so you're allowed to say Kriya Shema. Tanya Nami Hachi, the Gemara says it's like this. Now, do we understand the Chiddush of the Gemara over here? Basically, the Chiddush is like this. Your total upper body is uncovered. Okay, so in other words, you're only covered from the waist down. It's okay, you can say Kriya Shema. Again, is the Gemara condoning? Is the Gemara recommending? No, it's just simply saying that that's okay. The Gemara quotes a brisa that reinforces this. Haisa taliso shal beger v'shal or v'shal sak chagura amasnav mutar likros kriya shma. So as long as it's covering your lower portion of your body, you could say kriya shma. Ava l'tfila achi echase es libo. But if you want to daven shmona esrei, so then you got to cover the upper portion of your body as well. Now I know the Gemara's terminology here is echase es libo, but really what it means is you got to cover your whole body, your lower portion and your upper portion as well. There's a very important Rashi over here. Take a look at the first Rashi on the Amud, Chafei Amud Aleph. And Rashi says, what's the difference between Shema and Shemona Esrei? So it's so fundamental. And really, I'd like to reinforce this Rashi. Rashi writes, Sarichu laharis etasmo ka'omei lifnei amelech, v'la amod be'ema. Because when you're davening, you have to understand that you're standing in front of the king, and you have to stand with fear and trepidation. So therefore, even though technically your erva is covered, right, you got pants on, but okay, good. So technically you have satisfied the obligation of covering the erva. But when you're davening, you're standing before the melech. So you don't simply just want to have the lower portion of your body covered, you also want your upper portion covered as well. And you probably want to look somewhat presentable. Now, that's me adding to Rashi, but it's a fair addition. Ava Kriyashma, but look at the continuation of Rashi. Ava Kriyashma, Eino Medaber Lifnei HaMelech. But by Kriyashma, you're not speaking to the king. Right? Kriyashma, there's a fundamental difference between Kriyashma and Shmon Esrei. Kriyashma is an affirmation. It's not a dialogue. You're not talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is just simply an affirmation. You're learning Torah. You're fulfilling the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. Well, there is what we discussed earlier in the Masechta. It's Kabbal Sol Machus Shemayim. You're accepting upon yourself the yoke of heaven, but you're not talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So for Kriyat Shema, you just simply have to have your erva covered, as we've been discussing now for the past couple of days. But when it comes to Shemona Esrei, you're Lifnei HaMelech. You're in front of the king. So by Shemona Esrei, it is insufficient for you to just simply have your erva covered. You have to be dressed. Amar Rav Huna. We're continuing. We're on the top of Chafei Amud Aleph. Shachach v'nichnas b'tfilin lebeis hakise. Okay, so you go into the bathroom with your tefillin on. You forgot. Remember, a couple days ago, we talked about how you are supposed to remove your tefillin. Yes, we did discuss how there is a heter to take your tefillin into the bathroom with you, with your tefillin covered, of course, but there is a heter in order to provide a shmira for the tefillin. But you forgot. And so you had your tefillin on, and now you're in the bathroom with the tefillin. Again, I keep using the words in the bathroom, because I think 20th and 21st century. But you understand. So, v'nichnas b'tfilin lebeis hakise, minich yado aleim ad sheyigmor. So, put your hand over the tefillin until you finish your business. Ad sheyigmor sagadatcha. So the Gemara says, really? Meaning, with no sensitivity whatsoever to the tefillin now, you just sit until you're done? So, Ela kedamar of Nachma Yitzchak, Ashi Yigmar, Amor Rishon Velifso. At your first available opportunity, you should stop doing your business. Right? Excuse yourself from the quote-unquote bathroom. Take off the tefillin and then finish your business. But in other words, what you should not do, the point the Gemara is making now is as follows. If you are now in the middle, in process of doing your business, so the worst thing to do right now is to try to undo. Now, what exactly does that mean? The Gemara is going to explain in a little more graphic visual. So, Ashik Muhammad Rishon, Velif Sokla Alter, Velaykum. So, the Gemara makes a suggestion. Well, if you are in the middle of your business, so why don't you do the following? Why don't you try to retract the Amod HaRishon? So the Gemara says, Mishim Roshim Gamliel, Da Tanya. Roshim Gamliel Omer, Hamod HaChozer, Mevias Adam Lidehi Drakon. Because if what a person attempts to do is to, if he's in the middle of going, we're talking about Gedolim, we're talking about excreting. If he's in the middle and he tries to bring it back into his body, so the Gemara says it leads to an illness, an ailment called Hi Darkon. It's some sort of swelling of the stomach, and so the Gemara says it is very dangerous. So, even though he's wearing his tefillin, now he forgot, he should have taken them off before going into the bathroom, but he forgot. Now, even though he's wearing his tefillin, but if he's in the middle of actually going, so he shouldn't stop, he should finish, and then leave and take off his tefillin. And silica chosim evisadam liyideyirakon, and by the way, as long as we're giving medical advice, other important medical advices as well, which is that if you are urinating and you try to stop the urination during its flow, so it leads to yirakon, which, best way I could describe it, is a form of jaundice. Good. I'm glad I got information. Itmar, tsoa al besaro o yadom neches beves hakise. Okay. And so now we move on to more graphic discussion about davening while in the presence of excrement. Now here, the Gemara is going to be describing where you have tsoa besaro. You have excrement on your body. Anywhere on your body. O yadom neches beves hakise. Or, the Gemara gives another scenario, somewhat awkward, where a hand of yours is in the bathroom, meaning the rest of you is outside the bathroom, but your hand is in the bathroom. Rav Huna Amar Mutar Kos Kriyashma. So Rav Huna says that you're allowed to say Kriyashma. Now, I think we could say like this. If there's a foul odor that's emanating from the excrement, so I think there's nothing to talk about. In other words, it is clear, and as you'll see as we go through more of this daf, it is clear that you cannot say Kriyashma. We are discussing where the excrement is not emanate any odor, but there is actual excrement. So with excrement on your body, anywhere on your body, or a hand is in the bathroom, or a hand of yours is in the bathroom, so Rav Huna is of the opinion that you can say Kriyashma, mutter. And Rav Chista Amar also across Kriyashma, and Rav Chista argues. Now Amar Rav Amai Tam Rav Huna, so let's try to understand these positions a little bit better. What's the basis of Rav Huna? Dichsiv kol neshama tehalal ka. Because, quoting the pasuk from Tehillim that we're familiar with, we say it every day during Pesukei Zimra, kol ha-neshama, your entire neshama is praising the Akash Baruch Hu, which means that your entire neshama, or, as we'll discuss over here, your entire guf, has to be bathroom-free. So there cannot be any excrement on any part of your body, nor can your hand be in the bathroom, because your entire body is not excrement-free or bathroom-free. So you need to be totally free and clear in order to be in the position where you could daven. Rav Chista Amar, also across Kriyashma, my time is Rav Chista. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. Yeah, I realize that now. Rav Huna goes the other way. I'm sorry, and I underlined Rashi, and I just ran right over that Rashi. So let me go back. Rav Huna says like this. Kol neshama talka. Okay, let's now read Rashi. Hapeh v'achotem bechlal ha'hilu v'lo shar evarim. Neshama, like from the word neshima, thank you, meaning your breath. Rashi says your nose. Rashi says your mouth. They're involved in the hilul. They're involved in the praising of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So as long as there's no excrement there, now, meaning not necessarily only excrement on the mouth, but it means even the smelling of the excrement, as long as that doesn't exist, then it's okay. That's Rav Huna's position. And Rav Chista Amar Asla Kros Kriya Shema, my Tamad Rav Chista, Dichsev Kol Atzmosai Tomana, Hashem Michamocha. Okay? My entire body says Hashem Michamocha. Okay, sorry. That's, right, that's Rav Chista's explanation. Good. So Machlok is between Rav Huna and Rav Chista about excrement on the body. Interesting. Who does the halacha follow? Right? Patty, I know I just got your attention. So who does the halacha follow? So if you go back and you take a look, take a look at Tosfos on the previous Amud, where he tries to resolve. So he quotes Rabbeinu Chananel. This Tosfos is a little bit misplaced, but that's okay. Now we found it. So Tosfos says, he quotes Rabbeinu Chananel, and Rav Chananel says the halacha is like Rav Chista dasa lekros kriya shma afil et soa tachas bigdo al besaro. V'svirle klas masai tomarna. The alpha gav de Rav Chista talmid de Rav Huna. Now even though Rav Chista is a student of Rav Huna, so you'd figure if there's a machlokis between the Talmud and the Rebbe, the halacha should follow like the Rebbe, but hava lechumra azlinan. So, but Rabbeinu Chananel feels that we should be machmir, and so therefore there should be no excrement on your body, on any portion of your body, if you want to say shema.
What the walking the alleyway and so on.
Yeah, but there's a smell. That's an issue as well. So, as I mentioned earlier, meaning if there's a smell, then there's no discussion. Right, the story is over. Because the kol haneshama ta'alaka, meaning once there's an neshima, once you smell it, the discussion's over. Here we're just talking about where there is actual excrement on the body. So that is the Psaka Rabbeinu Chananel. So good, so we have clarity? Not particularly, because Tosfos then continues. Rav Alfa's Pasuk Rav Huna. But then he quotes the Rif, and the Rif Pasuk is like Rav Huna, Minda Akshay Gemara, Minei, Biyuma, Beperakam Amuna. Because there is a Gemara in Yuma, and the Gemara in Yuma basically assumes like the position of Rav Huna, so that if there is excrement on the body, as long as you don't smell it, it's just a little bit of excrement, so then it would be okay to say Shmoneh Esrei in such a state. So I ask you, what's the halacha? So it's a machlokus between the early Rishonim, Rabbeinu Chananel Rif, early Rishonim, a machlokus in terms of what's the halacha. And the Shulchan Aruch, being that it's such an early machlokus, the Shulchan Aruch does not take a very strong side on who is correct, and you should be machmir, meaning you should be in a position where you are tzor free and bathroom free when a person davens. Itmar, reich rashi yesh lo ikar. Okay, so the Gemara now goes on to discuss bad smells, foul smells while you're davening. I know we touched on it earlier with the going through the alleyway, but now the Gemara here discusses it again and in a slightly more detail. So Rav Huna Amar Machik Dal Amos V'Kar Kriyashma. So Rav Huna says, okay, so move away at a distance of 4 Amos and say your Kriyashma. Rav Chista Amar Machik Dal Amos Mimakum Shepasak Areach V'Kar Kriyashma. Now Rav Chista says you got to move further away. You got to move to the point where you no longer smell it, and then from there, move another 4 Amos away from that as well and say your Kriyashma. Tani Kavasi de Rav Chista. So the Gemara now quotes a Brisa, and the Brisa here is going to be strongly supporting Rav Chista. The Brisa reads, Lo yikara adam kriyashma lo keneged soas adam, lo keneged soas kolavim, lo keneged soas chazirim, lo keneged soas tarnegolim, lo keneged soas ashba, sherecha ra. Okay? So you cannot say your Shmoneh Esrei. Sorry, this Brisa is not talking about Shmoneh Esrei, it's talking about Kriyashma. Okay? You cannot say Kriyashma in the vicinity of the Tzoa, and it does not matter if it's Tzoa's Adam or Tzoa's Behema. The Ima Yamakam Gavor Sartfachim, Unamacha Sartfachim, Yoshe Betzira Vekor Kriyashma. Now, if it's above you Tentfachim or below you Tentfachim, so it's its own domain, so then it would be fine. The Imlav, however, if not, Marchik Malo Einav. So you move away. Malo Einav is a far distance, meaning to the point where you can no longer see it. V'chein l'tfila, and not only is this true by Kriyashma, it's also true by Kriyashma as well. Reach Sorry, other way around. Not only is it true by Kriya Shema, it's true by davening, by Shemoneh Esrei. Reach Rashi Yesh Lo Iker Marchi Dal Amos Mimakam Hareach V'Kore Kriya Shema. And finally, if you have a bad odor, where it's Yesh Lo Iker, where meaning that the bad odor is coming from a piece of excrement, so you move away 4 Amos from where the smell stopped, and then you say your Kriya Shema. Good. So we have a Braisa, and the Braisa supports Rav Chista's position. It is not sufficient to move away from the excrement. You have to move away from the smell. Wherever the smell ends, it's from there you move another 4 Amos away, and that's where you say your Kriya Shema. So Rava says, the halacha follows, not like the previous Braisa, but like the upcoming Braisa, the Tanya. Part of the tanning process is to add excrement to the leather in order to tan. Now, I'm not a tanner. I have no idea how the tanning process goes. I get little tidbits of information from the Gemara every now and then.
I think it's urine.
Dog excrement.
It's extra.
I hope you're not asking me. I really hope so, because if you're just it'd be asking him. Okay.
It is extra.
Okay. So fine. So this brisa is of the position that you just need to move away from the actual excrement itself. So the past 15-20 lines of Gemara has been talking about distancing yourself from a foul odor, sheyesh lo ikar, where you know where the source is coming from, the excrement's there. Okay. So again, machlok is between Rav Chista and Rav Huna in terms of how far away you have to move. And Rav Chista is more machmir. Fine. Next discussion. What if it's a foul odor that does not have ikar? Rashi says very simply, what are we talking about? Passing gas. So somebody passed gas. So now what? So Amalu Asu Chazu Hanit Sifa Debei Rav Dehanu Ganav Hani Garse. So the Gemara says, well, let's go to the base medrash and let's see what's going on in the base medrash. What is going on in the base medrash? So you have mattresses, meaning that the base medrash was working around the clock. Some students were learning while others were sleeping, and then I guess they kind of rotated. Okay. So and meanwhile, those that were sleeping in the base medrash, it's somewhat awkward, but it's part of human nature. So they were passing gas while they were sleeping. So what do you see in the base medrash? Meaning, I'll just simply point to what's going on in the base medrash. Some guys are sleeping and passing gas, some guys are learning, and it's not a problem. Obviously, it's okay. The hani mili b'divrei Torah, but the Gemara says, okay. But this heter, so to say, of learning while others are passing gas, that's only when it comes to divrei Torah. Ava b'kriya shma lo. But not by Kriya Shema. Now, we generally assume, we've been assuming this entire discussion, yesterday and today, that they're basically the same. Meaning, if you can't say Kriya Shema, you can't learn. If you can't learn, you can't say Kriya Shema. And here in the base medrash of some of the boys sleeping and passing gas, we are making a distinction between Kriya Shema and learning. But I think the difference is kind of self-evident. I think so. I'll suggest you tell me if you agree. But when it comes to learning, meaning learning is a full-time occupation. Meaning for the boys in the base medrash who are learning, so it's not like they can simply say, okay, well, we'll just simply wait until the coast is clear. Meaning it's something that they have to be involved with all the time. Kriya Shema, however, is a finite amount, meaning it's the 2 minutes of Kriya Shema in the morning, it's the 2 minutes in the evening, so therefore you can move into a position where you are in a free and clear area. So perhaps that could be a distinction between learning versus Kriya Shema. And the Gemara continues, V'divrei Torah nami lo amar nela dechavrei aval didei lo. And even by learning, meaning the allowance to learn, even in the vicinity of where somebody else passed gas, that's only when that's somebody else. But what if it's you yourself? So if it's you yourself, so the Gemara says no. Now, why should that be? The Gemara doesn't give much of an explanation in terms of what's the difference between you versus somebody else. Could be, and again, this is just me suggesting, for whatever it's worth, it could be as part of a knas, meaning really you should be more in control of your own system. And if you pass gas, so you have to wait until your own gas dissipates. Itmar. Tzoa Overis. Okay, now, what we've been discussing up until now, Right? It's just the conversation just goes from good to even better. We've been discussing up until now davening in the presence of excrement, davening in the presence of a foul odor coming off of excrement, and we've also been discussing where it's a foul odor, but there is no excrement. The Gemara now would like to further the conversation. Tsoa overis. What if it's tsoa and it's moving? Okay, it's in a state of movement. It's being transported. The garbage truck is passing you right now. So Abaye Amar Mutal Kos Kriyashma, Rav Amar also Kos Kriyashma. So, interestingly enough, Abaye's position, which is not the accepted position, but it's an interesting one, is that it's okay. As if it's in motion, it's okay. So Amar Abaye Menamin Allah did not. So Abaye says, look, I'll give you a reason why it would be okay if the tzoa is in motion. Hatame Omitachas Eilan Vator Over Tame. Okay. We're talking about a Mitzora sitting under a tree. Now, a Mitzora is a very interesting phenomena. This Mitzora gives off Tumah. Right. And not only does he give off Tumah, he gives off Tumas Maga, Masa, and Ohel. Right? We say a Mitzora is like a mace, and in this regard, we mean it. The analogy is a fair analogy. So much like a mace gives off Tumas Ohel, a Mitzora gives off Tumas Ohel as well. But there's one caveat. The Mitzora has to be stationary. So if the Mitzora is sitting under a tree, and he's either standing or sitting. Now, Rashi points out, we do learn this halacha from the words, b'chutz yashav. But Rashi makes it clear that this is just means that he has to be stationary. He doesn't actually have to be sitting. But once the Mitzora is stationary under the tree, so now he's giving off Tumas Ohel, so now anything that's under the tree is also going to be Tameh as well, through Tumas Ohel. Okay. So, the Mishnah tells us, Mishnah Negaim, obviously, that a tummy only takas a ilan, that if the tummy is standing under the tree, the Torah over, and somebody whose Torah is running under the tree, what happens to the Torah person? He's no longer Torah. He's tummy. Torah only takas a ilan. But if the Torah person is standing under the tree, and the Mitzora now is walking under the tree, so there was not a point where this Mitzora was stationary, the tummy over Tahor. The Tahor person remains Tahor. Because by Tzaras, by the Mitzora, in order for this conveyance of Tumas Ohel to occur, the Mitzora must be stationary under the tree. Gzeres HaKosov. V'im Amad Tameh. V'chein be'evin amunugas. And once the Mitzora comes to a full stop under the tree, Tumas Ohel now has been broadcast to everywhere under the tree. And by the way, finishes off the Mishnah, the same thing is true by the Evan HaMenugas, the stone, which is a Mitzora stone. Fine. And what Abaye does over here is something fascinating, and I really don't understand it. Which is, what that halacha that we just learned regarding Tzaras, he says the same thing is true regarding Tzoa. That if that Tzoa is in a state of motion, so just like by the Mitzora, it doesn't convey Tumah, so too by Tzoa, it doesn't affect your Kriyashma and your davening. Now, how does that analogy work? I'm unclear. I honestly don't know. But that... right. We're talking about Tumah of a Mitzora and the smell emanating from excrement. I don't understand the analogy. I understand how the halachas go side by side, but I do not understand how the two halachas can be compared. And Rava makes a very simple distinction. They are apples and oranges. When it comes to Tzaraz, so the halacha demands that the halacha warrants that the tumah is only going to be conveyed if the mitzvah is stationary. He quotes the pasuk, but dad yeshev mechutz machaneh. Yeshev, Moshav, means sitting stationary. But when it comes to davening, this week's parsha. So, for davening, you have to be in a holy place. If there is excrement being passed in front of you, who cares if the excrement is in motion? There's excrement right there. You must stop davening, and you must stop saying Kriyashma until it passes over. Okay? So, Abaye's position, obviously, Abaye has a response. I don't know how to further defend Abaye's position. We'll get to that. That's coming up. So the mouth of a pig is a dirty animal, it's a disgusting animal. Okay? And its mouth is like soa overis, meaning you can safely assume that there will be excrement on the mouth of the pig. Pshita lo tzricha afagav desalak minahar, and the Gemara says, even if the pig just drank from the lake, which now maybe you can make the argument, okay, clear, rinsed, fine. The Gemara says, no, not fine. I'm Rav Yehuda, Safek So Asur, Safek Mei Raglaim Mutarim. Now, Rav Yehuda says if there is questionable Soa, you have to be Machmir. Questionable urine, you can be Mako. Now, Ikadami, I'm Rav Yehuda, Safek Soa, Babayis Muteris, Ba'ash Basur. Now, another way to say this is like this. If the Safek Soa, questionable excrement in the house. Now, what exactly the Gemara means over here, questionable excrement? Meaning, you can't identify it. Maybe it's there, maybe it's not there. I'm not 100% sure what the suffix is, but if there is a suffix, so in the house you can be mako, because that's not typically where soa is found. So therefore, you can err on the side of, it's probably not soa. Okay. The ashpa, however, in the garbage heap, not the trash can in your house. We're talking about the garbage heap outside. Possibly there's soa over there, or possibly you have to be more cautious, because that's typically where soa is found. Now, what if it's just urine, and it's only possible, it's not definitive urine, so you could be mako. So, now, when it comes to urine, so he holds like Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna says that the prohibition of urine is only as the urine is coming out. Once the urine hits the ground, it's fine. We go back to this week's parsha. So you need a handle. So in other words, the Torah describes when you're at war and you have to go to the bathroom. You don't go to the bathroom right in the middle of the camp where everyone else is. The Torah says you must leave the camp. Go out, take your shovel with you. The Torah says that you have to have a shovel together with all the other weapons of warfare. You need to have a shovel. Take your shovel, dig a hole. Go in the hole and then cover. So v'yati alecha mechutz amachan v'yatsa shama chutz v'ksiv v'yasiti alecha alazanech v'ksisa tzeascha. So ha'ketzad ha'kam b'gdolim kam b'ktanim. So on one hand, the Torah describes that you just simply go. On the other hand, the Torah describes no, you got to go, dig, and cover. So the Gemara says it's very simple. If you're just making ketanim, if you're just urinating, so you go outside the camp, you urinate, you're done. If you're doing gedolim, so you got to dig, go, cover, and then go back. So ama ketanim la'asra tola keneged ama bavad. So what do you see? That when it comes to urine, urine is only going to be an issue only as it's coming out of your body. Once it hits the ground, the urine is fine. Hanafal arishavi v'rabana. Now this is the position of Rav Hamnuna. Fine. So v'rabana. Now the chachamim who disagree with Rav Hamnuna. Now, they make a gzera, meaning fundamentally, they agree with Rav Hamnuna. We just darshan the pasuk, right? There's a stira between two pasukim, so, and we darshan the pasuk, and fundamentally the chachamim agree. However, when there's urine on the ground and the urine is present, the rabbis made a gzera, do not say kriyashma, do not daven in the vicinity of the urine, even though the urine has left your body, even though it's on the ground. But even that gzera is only when the urine is definitively there. If the urine is not there, so then it would be, or if it's just a suffix, so then it would be okay. Uvavadana kama. Now, to what degree do you have to wait? Meaning, so fine, a person urinates, now the urine is on the ground. Good. As long as the urine is there, so then the person cannot say shema or daven. There will come a point in time, obviously, where the urine is going to get absorbed into the ground. So at what point can he then daven? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Kolzman Shemat Pichen. As long as the urine is still wet. V'chein Amar Rabba, V'chein Amar Rav Yochanan, Kolzman Shemat Pichen. V'chein Amar Ula, Kolzman Shemat Pichen. Geniva Mishmei D'Rava, Amar Kolzman Shereshuman Nikar. As long as you can see the spot where the urine is, seems to be 1 degree more machmir. Amar Rav Yosef, Sharalei Mar LeGvina. Please, God, forgive Geneva and his position. Hashet so Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Kevin Shekarmu Paneh Mutar Mei Raglai Mibaye. Look, when it comes to excrement, once the excrement has dried up, it's okay. And by dried up, we don't even mean dried totally. Simply Karmu Paneh, once it develops a crust over it, it's fine. So in other words, we're going to be that lenient regarding excrement. You don't think we're going to be even more lenient when it comes to urine? So Amar Abaye, my chaz, it's a smachaha, smachaha. So if you have excrement even if it's as dry as pottery, it's going to be awesome. If it doesn't crumble, the Ika da army calls manchigola vein in nefreches, if it can roll. So in other words, this position is more stringent when it comes to excrement. So if he's more stringent when it comes to excrement, meaning even dry excrement is going to be an issue, so he can also be more stringent when it comes to urine as well. I'm Rav Avikam Nekame de Rav Yehuda Midifte. Chazat Soa Amrli Ayin Ikarma Pene Ilo. So there was excrement in the area where they wanted to say Kriyash Mandavin, and so he said, I want you to test the excrement. You really get to see how loyal your Talmud is. So I want you to test the excrement, and I want you to see whether or not there's crust fallen over. It is crusted. So igadami hachi amale ayin e mafle aplui, or this is a little bit milder. He says, I want you to investigate the excrement and see if there's cracks that developed in the excrement. Again, a sign that the excrement has in fact dried up, and so therefore it would permit us to daven and to say Shema in this vicinity. My havi Allah. So now, are we all thoroughly confused? We should be. Because the Gemara has now provided for us a number of opinions regarding at what point are you allowed to daven in the vicinity of both urine and in terms of excrement. So by urine, we know that when it's leaving your body, it's absolutely forbidden. That's clear. When it hits the ground, min haTorah, it's okay. The rabbis made a gzera. At what point is the coast clear for you to daven to say Shema? So for that, we have offered now a number of opinions. And by excrement, when the excrement dries up, so then the excrement would be fine. At what point is it considered dried up? That's subject to a debate. So then the Gemara now wants to know, my havi Allah. Right, Hedy, these should be your three favorite words in the Gemara, because whenever the Gemara asks the question, my havi Allah, the Gemara is essentially saying, okay, the discussion's great, can we get to a conclusion? Now usually, Hedy, I will tell you that after the Gemara say, my havi Allah, the Gemara comes to a clear conclusion. This is not going to be one of those cases. Itmar tsoa kecheres, if you have so and it's as dry as earthenware pottery. So the Gemara presents a machlokas. Amaraim. So the Gemara says the halach is that even when the excrement is as hard as cheres, it's going to be prohibited. Urine, as long as it's wet, meaning it's not leaving your body, it's aser when it leaves your body, but it's on the ground. As long as it's wet, it's aser. Once the ground is dried up, so then it's going to be mutter. Now it says it absorbs. So now it seems to be that when it comes to urine, it means not only is it the ground dry, but you don't even see any more urine on the ground. So So the Gemara says, that's not necessarily the correct understanding, emeresha, because go back to the beginning of the Braisa. Because the Braisa sounds like, as long as it's wet, it's aser, but once it's no longer wet, even though you see the area where the urine is, it would be muta. So the Gemara says, there's nothing to be learned from this Braisa. Okay, I realize the hour is late. Let me just finish to the end of this particular topic. Lema kitanai. Let us suggest that this is a machlokas amongst the Tanayim. Kli shenishpechu mimenu meraglayim. If I have some sort of bowl that's holding urine, and it spills, also lekros kriyashma kenegdo. So you cannot say kriyashma. You're in the presence of urine. O meraglayim atzma shenishpechu, nivlu mutter lo nivlu aser. If it is absorbed into the ground, so then it becomes mutter, but if it's not absorbed, it's aser. Rav Yossi Omer calls mashamat pichin. Now Rav Yossi says, as long as it's wet, it's going to be an issue. So, my nivlu, my lo nivlu. Now, when it says absorbed into the ground, what does that mean? Dekama tanakama. Ilema nivlu de mat pichin, lo nivlu de mat pichin. So perhaps you would like to suggest the following. That nivlu means it's not liquid anymore. It's totally absorbed into the ground. And lo nivlu means it's still wet. And then Rav Yossi saying, well, as long as it's not wet, once it's no longer wet, it's going to be okay. Hainu tanakama. So then what you have is a machlokas, but no machlokas. They're really agreeing with one another. And that can't be, meaning when you have a bright presenting two opinions, there's obviously a point of disagreement. Ela nivlu din rishumam nikar, lo nivlu de rishumam nikar. So it could be that the Tanakhama says that it has to be that the urine not only is no longer wet, but it's so absorbed into the ground, you can't even see that there was urine there altogether. V'asar Rav Yossi l'memer, kol zman shematpichnu da'asar ha'rishum amnikar sharei. And Rav Yossi is more makel, and Rav Yossi says, nah, it doesn't have to be totally absorbed into the ground, but it has to be to the point where if I were to touch it, I don't feel the wetness. But even though I see where it is, that's okay. So the Gemara says, lo, dekulei ama kol zman shematpichnu da'asar ha'rishum amnikar sharei. So the Gemara says like this. Now, really, there really is more agreement than disagreement. If the area is wet, meaning the urine is still there and it's liquid, and you can actually feel the liquid, we all agree, you cannot dive and say Kriya Shema in such an area. If it's absorbed into the ground, where it's no longer wet, but you can still see where it is, you can still see that there's someone urinated there, that's okay. However, the Gemara says we're on the top of Chafem and Beis, V'hacha b'tofeach amanas lehatfiach ika beinayu. The only point of disagreement is the following. Meaning, what is the shear of wet? We see this time and again throughout the Gemara, and the Gemara tries to quantify what is considered wet. Meaning, is wet the point where I feel it, I have a sensation of liquid, but when I take my finger off, my finger's dry? Or does wet mean that not only when I touch it, my finger feels wet, but when I remove my finger, I actually see liquid beads on my finger? The Gemara says, that's the machlokas between the Tanakam and Rav Yossi. Who says what? So Rashi's helpful. Take a look at Rashi on the top of this Amud, the first Rashi. Tanakama by Amanas Latfiach Rav Yossi Machmir. So the Tanakama says that in order for urine to be considered wet, it has to be, right? I have Rachmanos on the person who's testing, that he puts his finger down, he actually not only feels a wet sensation, but he takes his finger off and there's liquid on his finger. That's wet according to the Tanakama. Where Rav Yossi is even one step further Machmir. Where Rav Yossi says, no, if he puts his finger on it and he feels it wet, even though when removing his finger there's no liquid on his finger, that's still considered wet, and that's still considered an area where you cannot daven and say your Shema.